Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this, so you're lucky you got to sit by me today. They are lucky. Telling you what's happening, great things are happening here at River City Church. You just heard Jordan was talking about how Jesse and the team, they're in Thailand, they've been ministering. I think they're getting on the plane right now on their way back from Bangkok. And I'll tell you, a miracle already happened because I got three kids ready by myself. Their hair's fixed, they look clean. They may not be clean, but they look clean, you know what I'm saying? And I got them here, and I've done a pretty good job for a week. I'm ill-equipped, I admit it. Praise God for mothers. A mother is a wonderful, unbelievable. There is nobody like mama, amen? But I did pretty good. All the kids did good. One kid bit another one, but it didn't break skin. So come on. I ought to get a pass for the week, amen? Hey, let's pray, and then we're going to move into the teaching of the Word of God today. If it doesn't break skin, it doesn't even count, right? So we're going to pray. And while we're praying, you could open up your Bible. You can open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading in a moment in verse 13, Matthew 14, 13. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is light to us, and your word is breath to us, and your word is food to us. Lord, we come to the table, your table, and we thank you that there's a table prepared before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, this morning we do sit at your table and we dine. And I thank you that the words come to us and they're not natural words, but I declare that we hear the words of life. And I say thy words were sweet and I did eat them. They became the joy and the rejoicing. They're the joy and the rejoicing. They are the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Lord, lead us, guide us, multiply us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the church said, amen. We started talking last week about the hand of God coming upon our life, and we're believing God for the seventh hand to be on our life in 2018. Does anybody out there want the seventh hand, the supernatural hand of God, to come upon what we do? Now, believe this, much of the scripture shows us that when the hand of God comes upon our life, what we touch, it begins to work at another level. As a matter of fact, what we touch, it begins to multiply. Now, I've been thinking about that idea of multiplication. You can't think or talk about multiplication without looking at the miracle of the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. That takes us to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. If you're out there and you're there, go ahead and say, uh-huh, this morning. Here's what it says, uh-huh. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only five loaves and two fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. Then he took the five loaves and the two fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. If you come into this text, you'll find out at the beginning is that Jesus is at a really tough place in his life. How many know we live in a fallen world and every day is not a holiday? Come on, somebody say amen to that. There's going to be great days. There's going to be bad days. I would love to get up and preach to you. If you got saved, all your problems would go away and you would turn on the faucet and Kool-Aid would come out and everything you ate would taste like cotton candy and have no sugar or carbs in it. But how many know if I tell you that, that is a lie. There is a fallen world we live in. And in a fallen world, there is death present. Sometimes things go wrong. And John the Baptist, one of Jesus's dear friends, a cousin to Jesus, and the prophet that prepared the way for Jesus, had been beheaded because of his ministry. You know, the prophet is one of the fivefold ministry gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the apostle. Fivefold, we use the hand, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And the prophet is the pointing finger. A lot of times the ministry of the prophet will say, this is the way of the Lord. And he'll prophesy and he'll say, here's the way you're to go. And sometimes the prophet will call you out. He'll point his finger and he'll say, you need to repent. You need to turn. That's a prophetic edge on somebody's life. How many of y'all believe in 2018 we still need to be called to repentance and turning and change our life? Listen, God doesn't call us to kill us. God calls us to correct us and help us and lift us up. It's the grace of God in the call out. Let's give God a hand clap for his grace in calling us out, changing our life. So the prophet calls out the man he's called to, and he loses his life for it. He's beheaded. Jesus is a natural. He's fully God, but he's fully man. And in his humanity, he's hurting. He's broken. It's a tough time. The Bible says that he tries to go away to get by himself. Here's a rhythm you got to have in life if you're going to give to others, if you're going to minister, if you're even going to lead well in any capacity in family or whatnot. You give and you give and you give, but how many know there's got to be a time you get in a place where you can fill back up? How many of you have ever felt like, I've just given so much, right now I have nothing else to give? And you get empty, it's a tough place. And Jesus would get aside and he would be filled up. You know what we're doing right now in church on Sunday morning? Right now we're being filled up by the worship of the Lord, by the teaching of the Word of God. You're going to walk out of here stronger than you came in. God's going to lift you. He's going to fill you. I declare the help of heaven is coming to your life right now. So Jesus gets out to get by himself and the crowds, they follow him. They won't leave him alone. I mean, he is a rock star at this point in his ministry. The blind have been seen. The deaf have been hearing. Man, the lame have been walking. He's speaking and he's mesmerizing the crowd. People are following him. Now, I can't imagine what it's like to be one of those people that have cameras on them and people following them every day of their life. It's amazing. I can't imagine it. We had a family member that had some success nationally for a period of time and was on national television, people knew who she was, and we would go out to eat with her. Now, I'm telling you, just sitting down to eat with her for a period of time, there'd be lines of 50 people that would wait while we eat to get her autograph and to talk to her, and it's like, man, it'll wear you down just to watch it. I told her if she's going to eat out with me anymore, she must wear a hoodie and a hockey mask. She's going to be my hockey mask friend at the end of the table because it would wear you out. Jesus had this going on. He gets by himself. But even though he's worn out and even though he's been through a tough time, when the crowd shows up, Jesus, the Bible says, he's moved with compassion for them. Even though he's having a bad day, he doesn't turn people away. How many are thankful that God, in his love and in his graciousness, he would never turn us away. He would always minister us and meet us right where we are. You know, I've never had a day I went to God in prayer. God's never looked at me and said, Brian, I don't have time for you today. I've never had a time I've opened up the Bible and tried to connect with God when God didn't come and meet me where we are. I'm telling you, God wants to meet us and have compassion on us and lift us and help us. Somebody say amen to that. So Jesus is ministering to these people. And the service starts to go a long time. It's not a real quick one. You know, I let you out of here pretty quick because I know you're an American and I know kind of our attention span. We're kind of trained by YouTube. And if you don't like what's saying, you'll just flip it over to another website very quickly. But back in the day, how many of y'all were raised in a church when you went to church, man? You went to church. How many of y'all have fallen asleep under a pew? How many of y'all have put your bubble gum under a pew somewhere? Don't lie. The Lord knows what you've done. You know, I can remember playing hangman on a bulletin. Anybody play hangman? And I don't know. I want to find out where my people are. How many of y'all have ever been spanked in the foyer of the church? Now, come on. Give the Lord a hand clap. You were raised right out there. I'll tell you, God's done something in your life. And, you know, used to, you went to church. People didn't think God, especially if you came from a Spirit-filled church, they didn't think God could move till you were 3 hours in. Something about three bells, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all had time to show up then. All three of them. And then we could have church. And Jesus had been teaching, had been preaching, and it was going on a long time. And the apostles, the disciples at the time, they started looking around. They're like, man, it's getting late. People are starting to nod out. They're saying the kids, we know the kids got to go to school in the morning. And they're saying the kids' workers are losing their minds back there right now. They've done everything. They've taught everything in the Bible they know, and they're going to quit us. They're never coming back again. And they're like, somebody's got to go tell Jesus he's got to land the plane. How many of you have ever known preachers that are great at taking off, but they just don't have a landing gear? You know, I got some friends like that. Couldn't land the plane. And so they start electing. They're like, somebody's got to go talk to Jesus. And so one of the disciples goes up and says, Master, you know, the hour is getting late. It's Sunday. Chick-fil-A's closed. It's not even an option. I'm telling you, all the other places are shut down. The only thing left is going to be like, you know, the 24-hour place the drunks are going to be in a moment. These people are going to be hungry, and there's nothing open. And I'm afraid they'll faint on the way home. And the disciples come and they say, we got to send them away to go get them something to eat. You know, a lot of times the church is like those disciples. A lot of times the church is willing to send away a hungry crowd and let them go find nourishment and help somewhere else because it's not convenient for us today. Come on, the disciples, they were going to be taken care of that night. They're tethered to the Messiah, right? They've been traveling with him for years. They know that they're going to be all right. They know they're going to have the words of life, but they were happy to send everybody else away. How many know as a church, we should never accept a send them away mindset? We should never say somebody else can minister to them. Somebody else can meet their needs. Some other church can teach them about Jesus. Somebody else can reach them. We ought to be the kind of people that say, hey, we're the people to reach them. We're not going to send them away. We're going to minister to their needs. He says, send them away. And then Jesus turns around. He points at the disciples. He won't let them off the hook. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God just won't let you off the hook. How many of you have ever been on the hook of God? But I'll tell you, there's been seasons of my life. When I first got saved, it was all about me. God was blessing me and lifting me and helping me. But then there were seasons in my life where it seemed like I was on the hook all the time. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And some people are like, I want to hear from God, I want to hear from God. And I was like, I don't want to hear from God today. Because I don't know what he's going to ask me to do next. And it's like, you know, can you talk to Jesse? Jesse, just talk to Jesse for a while, God. Listen, Jesus looks at him and says, you give them something to eat. Look at your neighbor, just tell him, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Now, I think that's what Jesus calls us as a church. It's not enough just to get saved. It's not enough just to be ministered to. It's not enough to have what we need us for and no more. Come on, we're in here. We got a nice little community. We can have our friendship and have our church and be ministered to. But how many know there's a group of people outside of the walls that desperately need Jesus? There's a group of people that haven't heard the message yet. There's a group of people that won't be with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we can't send them away. We must minister to them. We must reach them. We must bless them. We must help them. Come on, we're not going to be a send them away church. We're going to be a meet their needs church. Somebody give God a hand clap if you want to be that kind of church and that kind of people. That's what we need to be, not a send them away church. You know, Jesse got to preach last night. It was actually this morning on the other side of the earth in Chiang Mai, Thailand. We've been ministering over there for years on the Burma border, working with really orphans who are rescued from the sex slave industry. And that's been a wonderful work. It's been amazing. What's been done there is supernatural. We've watched that thing grow from like a handful of kids, 15 or 20 kids, to somewhere around 250 kids being ministered to every day. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. I love that. That's the heart of God. But as we've been there, we've noticed a lot of the kids that we minister to, that the group ministers to there, it's not all us, it's a partnership. The kids the group minister to, a lot of them are from Burma. They're Burmese kids that are refugees in Thailand. And people are reaching them. They're being preached to. That group's being ministered to. But the Thai people themselves are very, very lost. As a matter of fact, there's not many churches that are effective in the nation of Thailand, ministering to Thai people. They say somewhere between 1% and 3% of Thai people are born-again Christians. And Jesse got to preach last night at one of the strongest churches in Thailand that is reaching Thais. You know, a few years ago, Jesse and I, we were at the Upper Room in Jerusalem. We were there on a study tour, and we're going to the Upper Rooms where the Spirit of God fell on the church in Acts chapter 2. We got up that morning. That's the area where you would be in Jerusalem. It's not the actual upper room, but the spot's close. It's built on top of it. And that morning we got up and Jesse looked at me and she said, Brian, you know, we've been ministering. We've been helping in Thailand. It's been great, but we're not really reaching Thai people. She said, I feel like we've got to do something for Thai people. I feel like there's a call somewhere, like God's moving on us to do something for strictly the Thais. And I'm like, well, that's great, honey. If you feel that, let's do it. We get up, we go to the upper room, and we're in there. We walk in the upper room, and we're primed. We're talking about the upper room, right? I'm charismatic. I believe in the power of God. And does anybody out there still believe in the power of Pentecost, man? We believe that there's still the power of Pentecost for the church. We go in the upper room, we start singing a song, and we're in there. There's people from all over the world in there, Christians that are on pilgrimage. We start singing a song, and man, the power of God started falling in that room. People started weeping. People started praying in the Spirit. Man, the Spirit of God was so strong, I got down on my knees and worshiped the Lord. And there's a guy, that's not a Christian site, that's a Jewish site. And there's a Jewish security officer that's there. And it's his job to calm down charismatic Pentecostals that are on a pilgrimage from around the world. You talk about the toughest job in the world. I personally have been thrown out of the upper room twice. I've got my badge. I wear it as a badge of honor. It's awesome. But before they tossed us out of there, we're there, and Jessie began to hear someone. She just talked about Thailand that morning. She began to hear some people singing in Thai with us. And without being called or anything like that, these people from Thailand picked Jessie out of every person that was in that room. They came over, they started crying and hugging her and praying for her. And they brought gifts out of their purse and they started giving her things and saying, like, come help us. It was supernatural. It was crazy. And I'll tell you, we walked out of there and I said, Jessie, if you're not paying attention to what God's saying, I don't know what else he can do for you now to tell you what to do. But last night, she got to preach in one of those key Thai churches, one of the stronger churches in Thailand. I believe God's making a divine connection. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. Supernatural. Here's what the pastor of that church said. He said to Jessie last night, we must plant more churches in Thailand. He said, I walk around the streets and almost every person I run into will not be with us in heaven. They'll go to hell. And this guy said, I'm not willing to let that happen on my watch. I'm going to do everything within my power. See, he doesn't have a send them away mindset. That preacher has a multiplication mindset. You can have one of two mindsets. You can have a send them away mindset, or you can have a multiplication mindset. A lot of people have a send them away mindset because they see everything through a natural lens. If you're just looking at your power and your ability and what we have today and our resources and our education, how many know we'll become send them away people? But if we start looking at a divine God who is with us, and we look at his hand coming upon our hand, we look at the seventh hand coming upon what we do, we don't have to think limited anymore. Now it's not our power, it's his power. Come on, now it's not our resources, it's his resources. Now it's not our word and our mission, it is his word and it's his mission. And instead of being limited in my natural ability, I can be empowered and multiplied by his divine ability. And that puts me in a multiplication mindset. See, our God is a God of multiplication. He can take your little, he can make it a lot. He can take the abilities he's placed in your life and he can touch them. And when his touch comes upon your life, nothing in hell, nothing in this world can slow you down. God is the God of multiplication. You know, Albert Einstein, one of the greatest intellects of the last 100 years, actually brought his intellect to America and enabled us to stop Hitler in World War II by creating the atomic bomb. Einstein looked at the world that we live in, and he said this. He said, the world is so complex. The complexity of this world and the way it runs is so supernatural, there must be a God. And then he realized that the God that was of this world also was a God that was into multiplication. Einstein talked about compound interest and would talk about that. He called it the eighth wonder of the world. Einstein said that because he said people could take a little, right? Set it aside, put it in the right place, and over years, it could multiply, and it could become a lot. And Einstein's thought about multiplication lended to his thought about splitting the atom. Einstein said if we can split the atom, then we can multiply the energy that's within. We can energize things, we can do things. Obviously, it also became a nuclear weapon. But that multiplication, he said there's a power there that's available in this world that is ruled by God that can bring absolute multiplication. See, I want us to be a church that has a spirit of multiplication upon us. We got a God that whatever he touches, come on, it gets better, it gets bigger, it becomes more God-like. How many of y'all would like to see God multiply your house, multiply this church, multiply your finances? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. Multiply your children in a stronger way in their life. Come on, it's a spirit of multiplication. You got to learn to think that way. You have to learn to embrace that. Think about this. Some of you are out there saying, how can God use me to do anything large like that? Well, you know, whenever the disciples, Jesus said, don't send them away, you do something for them. They started looking to find out what was there, what was available to them. And listen, you got to use what is available to you today in life. How many know if you're going to wait for your ship to come in, your ship's never coming in? I've heard people say, hey, there's a day coming whenever I get this, this, and this, I'm going to get started. Those people never start. Some people say, hey, pastor, whenever I get something going on in my life, better I'll start giving. Listen, you got to do what God's put in your hand today to have something supernatural. There was a little boy that showed up, and he had just a few fish and some loaves. And they find that little boy's little happy meal. You know, he knows the preacher's long-winded, so he's going to bring something to eat in the middle of the meeting. That little boy's happy meal wasn't much. But I'm telling you what, when you start with something that's little, God can take your little and he can make it a lot. God can take our limitations and he can blow the top off of them. God can take a natural gifting and put his spirit upon it. And now there's things happening that don't even make sense in your life. You know, things that go large in life, they almost always start small. Everybody say small. You know, things start in a cave often that go large. Think about Christianity. Jesus was born in a cave in Bethlehem. It's a small start, but it's become large. There's a billion of us that follow him on the planet right now. There's many companies that started in garages small. Hewlett Packard started in a garage in the 30s. Then, come on, Steve Jobs got an internship with them and was inspired to start Apple Computers in a garage. Him and Wozniak, it became one of the largest computer companies of all time. You know, the founder of Amazon, he started his company in a garage. All of those things became large. And you're not talking about even, to my knowledge, committed Christian people. But come on, they were going to commit something and work on it. And they believed they could start something small and it could become large. If somebody like that can do something that large, how much more should we, the children of God, God's covenant people, won by the blood of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, how much more should we have multiplication on our life, on what we do and what we touch? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap if you think we ought to have that in our life. Amen? Man, these small things, this small fish, these small loaves, it went large. They took it and they brought it to Jesus. Listen, as long as our little's in our hands, it won't do much. But this lad took what he had, and then he put it in the Lord's hands. And whenever it came out of the lad's hands and it went into the Lord's hands, that's when something supernatural happened. I'm telling you, if we'll take what we have, our little, and we'll put it in the hand of God. Take our little, our six hands, come on somebody, and let him put his seventh hand on what we're doing. Now we've got something that'll multiply and something that will go large. They brought it. And they gave it to Jesus. You know the story, that little became much in the hands of the Lord. Jesus took it and he blessed it. And then he looked to heaven. He looked to heaven when he blessed it. Come on, that's one of the keys to God doing something bigger in life. You can't just look to what this world can do for you. Come on, we're Christians. We don't just look lateral. Come on, we look vertical, don't we? We look to heaven. And I'm not just believing for natural blessing. I'm believing for something supernatural to come upon my life, to come upon what I'm doing, to come upon what God's called us to do as a people. It's not looking out here, it's looking up here. Jesus took it, he blessed it. And a miracle happens not in the hand of the disciples. This miracle, it happens in the hands of the Messiah. Or it happens in the hands of the disciples. The Messiah blesses it. He blesses the fish, he blesses the loaves. And then he takes it and he gives it to the disciples. And it's the disciples' job to distribute it. Can you imagine being one of these 12 guys? Jesus has taken these loaves and these fish. He prays on it, prays over it, lifts it up to heaven, and he blesses it. You know, there's a rock in the Church of the Multiplication that many scholars agree that Jesus set these fish and these loaves on this rock. It's in the middle of a church. And then he walked away. He blessed it. The disciples pick it up. And it's their job. It's no larger than it was when he prayed over it. And they got to walk out and start to feed a crowd of 5,000, not counting the wives and the kids, probably a crowd of 20,000. And they walk out there, and then they begin breaking the miracle apart. They tear off the bread, and the bread regenerates. They hand out a part of the fish, and a fish comes back in their hand. And that happens for a minute. Peter's handing bread, and the bread's regenerating. Man, Andrew is handing out fish, and the fish keeps coming. The sons of thunder are passing things out, and stuff keeps coming and coming and coming. And the seventh hand, the hand of God, the hand of multiplication comes upon that offering, and God does something supernatural. That little that was in the hand of the lad now becomes a lot, and it feeds a multitude. What I believe is resident in this church is we may have just a little, and it may not look like much to the world, but I'm telling you, if we'll take our little and we'll put it in the hands of the Lord, that the hand of the Lord can come upon our little and we can do something supernatural. We won't have to send the crowd away. We'll be able to minister to them and bless them and lift them. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. Do you believe He can do that in our lives? I'm telling you, something supernatural can happen if you obey God. He can multiply and He can reach the church. He can multiply, He can reach the world. And then He can multiply and He can bless your house. I was just out for one night this week. I had a board meeting in Texas. I'm on the board of the church that I was saved in, filled with the Spirit in, got delivered in. God called me into the ministry in that church. I ran off with the preacher's daughter from that church. Come on, I love that church. That church was good to me. And I'm on the board of that church. We were doing a board meeting. And I was there with the board members, and they were talking about a guy that God's hand had come upon in the congregation. They said about a decade ago, this guy was working a job. He was working at a equipment rental company. You know, the companies you can go and you can rent a lift, or you can rent a small backhoe or something like that for projects. He was running the counter at one of those companies. And he came to church, and God ministered to him. And he heard about giving and receiving, the tithe and the offering. And it really, he was compelled. He's like, man, that's the word of God. That's what I should do. And he started doing that 10 years ago. And he started that. He said, it's in the word of God. I'm going to do it. I've never done it before, but I'm going to start doing that. And he did it, and God gave him an idea. Wasn't even a massive idea. It was just a simple idea. God told him to buy a semi. He felt like he was supposed to buy a semi. Felt led to buy one. And he didn't quit his job at the counter. He bought one semi, and he hired a guy to drive the truck and to haul the loads for him. And then that started working for him. And he kept giving. This guy's one of the biggest preachers of giving anywhere around. He attributes God's hand on his life to giving and receiving supernaturally, taking care of the church. And then that one truck, he bought a second truck, kept working his job, hired another driver. And then a second truck became a third truck. And over the years, it's been 10 years, there was a fifth truck and a sixth truck, a seventh truck. Then he got up to 50 trucks and 100 trucks. And they said he just called this last week and said God's hand came upon what I was doing. And now I have 150 trucks, and God's blessed him supernaturally. Come on, somebody ought to give God. That's in one decade. One decade, a guy heard that, partnered with it, and it started happening in his life. God multiplied him. Now, I'm not saying all of us are called to be business people, and that's exactly what's going to happen in your life. But help me know God can put a blessing on your life regardless of your call that takes you higher than you would ever go. God can put a blessing on your life. How many would rather live life blessed than to live life cursed? How many would rather live life, I want to live my life where God looks at me and says, there's a man that I know, I can use him. And if I get something to him, I can get it through him. Listen, that's the kind of guy I want to be. And that's the kind of guy I'm training my kids to be. I look at my kids all the time. It's one of the strongest things I teach my kids. So listen, I love the church. I love the house of God. The church has done so much for me. The house of God. Listen, I would have died smoking meth if it wasn't for the church. I don't think I'd have a family. I don't think I'd be walking around. I think I'd be out. I'm telling you, the church is the answer to the world's problems. There's a sanctity to the church. You know, we talk about the sanctity of marriage. I believe that. How many of y'all believe marriage is something it's sanctified in the eyes of God between a man and a woman? You know, the New Testament talks about the relationship between Jesus and His church. And He talks about it just like He talks about that marriage covenant. It's a sanctified thing. And I'll tell you, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to take care of my wife because I'm in covenant with her. And I'm also going to do anything that I can to take care of the church that God's placed me in. Because I'm not just in covenant with Jesus, I'm in covenant with the church. Come on, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't send people away, we meet their needs. It's whatever it takes. So I'll look at my kids and I tell them, I say, no matter where God sends you on the earth, doesn't matter what you're called to do, you know, there's gonna be a church there. You're going to grow up one day, and I'll tell you what your job is. You go take care of your church. You give to your church. You pray for your church, and you serve in your church. I don't care what you do, whatever you are. You be anything you want to be. But if you're going to be these kind of people, you'll be a righteous man and a righteous woman then, and God will bless you. I want to get that in their life. Listen, this guy had that idea, and God began to bless him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to bring 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, we give every week. We take our tithe every week. But once a year, we do a special over and above offering. Once a year. We haven't done it in a year and a half now. The last time we did it was when we renovated the front of the building. How many of y'all think the front of the building looks better than it did before, man? They did a bang-up job on that. And so the last time we did an offering like this, we were doing an offering for that building. And I think the church gave somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 to complete that project. Come on, we ought to give God one more hand clap for that. I think that's $200,000, $250,000 to complete that. We're going to take an offering up, and we're calling it the seventh hand offering. We're going to pledge over the next 2 weeks to what we believe God can help us give over and above our tithe for 2 months. And I don't know if you've ever entered into faith giving or giving by faith. See, I believe there's an area of faith giving where we go past what we can do in the natural, and we let God speak to us. And we do what He calls us to do. And if He calls us to do it, come on. If He's where He guides, He will provide. If He tells me to do something, He's going to put it in my hand. Here's what this offering's going to go to. I want you to know. One is, we've only owned this building for about 3 years. We leased it before. Whenever you lease a building, there's only so much money, so many improvements you're going to put in the building because it's somebody else's property. Now God has given us this property. But the roof has some serious needs right now. And, you know, if you're a church that's been around forever and have paid off buildings, that's an easy thing. But when you just got in a building, you know, you don't have 100 years worth of giving laid up somewhere. We're a relatively new church. And right now, to replace this roof, it's about a $300,000 fix. All right, it's an old rock roof. You got to pull all that rock off and redo it. But we found another application where they can pull the rock off, and then they have this application they put all over the roof. It's almost like a rubber sealant type thing. And then they put the rock off. There's tons and tons of rock on top of this roof. And that's about a $70,000 fix. It gets you a 10-year guarantee. If there's any leaks, they'll come back and take care of it. If you're going to do a full roof, you still only get a 20-year guarantee. This is half for $70,000, and we're still looking for a better quote, but I like that better than $300,000. Somebody say amen to that. Sounds like a better deal. So that's a $70,000 need that the church has. Another need that we have, and here's where we are as a culture. How many of y'all have watched something on a phone in the last 24 hours? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of y'all have watched something on a phone while I'm preaching this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, all right? But I know you're out there. That's all I got to say. Here's what the stats show about our phones. The stats show, you've heard me talk about it recently, that we spend 10 hours, the average American, 10 hours a day looking at a screen. That's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy we get anything done. That's 5 hours of TV and 5 hours of other devices, computers, laptops, phones. If you want to reach the harvest with the gospel, I'll tell you where they are. They're right here, aren't they? How many of y'all have walked into some place, maybe you're waiting to get your oil changed? Are people talking to you? Now, if you talk to them, they're like, why are you talking to me? Can't you see I've got a relationship here that's really strong, and I'm looking at it. See, everyone is right here now. And if we're going to reach them, we got to get as good as we can with technology to meet them right where they are. Everything has to be on point now. Because listen, if something doesn't grab somebody, how many know they can turn the channel, they can turn to the next YouTube video, they can swipe right, and you're gone like that. How many have ever turned on local TV and there's some terrible production on? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, even the news sometimes here. You don't watch it long, do you? You're looking for something good because there's a standard set when we're watching that. Here's what we can do with our technology. We need to set up where on the back of the stage we can do LED technology. And what that really takes is pretty much you can cover this backstage wall to wall with LED that's sharp and crisp. And then when anyone's ever up here preaching, doesn't matter what they're talking about. If they're talking about Noah's Ark, there's a massive Noah's Ark behind it. If you're talking about Daniel in the lion's den, you got a massive Daniel in the lion's den. And then you got something that looks sharp when people turn on the TV, whenever they're looking at their camera, and you have them. Here's what we believe we're called to do. We believe that we're called as a church not to send people away, but to go where they are and meet them. How many of y'all believe we should go into all the world and preach the gospel? He who believeth not, believeth will be saved. Who believeth not will be condemned. Come on, let's really give God a hand clap for his great commission. We're going to meet them where they are. We need to set up with technology to be able to campus out as a church. We don't think we're supposed to be a church in one location. We believe we're supposed to be a church that reaches many locations. We're trying to get our platform right now to be able to do that. That LED technology will enable us to do that. Altogether, it's about a $50,000 deal. Listen, then in our kids and our youth room, we have upgrades we need to make back there with cameras and with lights and to get the next generation everything that they need at about $10,000. We also have another $30,000 of budgetary needs that we can meet. Come on, there's plenty of needs always. Jesus walked out, he saw a crowd, they were hungry, right? The need's always there. But he looks at us and he says, you give them something to eat. In the natural, it doesn't sound like it's something you can do. But how many know whenever God's hand comes upon it, all things become possible to him who believes. It's the seventh hand coming on your life. Hey, if y'all would go ahead and begin to distribute those offering envelopes, ushers. We're going to take this offering envelope and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God what he would have us to do. There's a place on the front of the envelope that's coming to you. It's called the seventh hand giving envelope. And at the top of that envelope, it'll say what you want to pledge, total number, over the next couple of months. What I want to give by faith. What I'm believing God to do and what I'm believing God to give. This is over and above your tithe. If you just take your tithe and put it in this, it does nothing for the church. All it does is squeeze our budget down. But I'm telling you, I've seen the largest blessing in my life come whenever I begin to give by faith, whenever I stretch myself. I believe this, if it doesn't move me, it probably won't move God. So I want to give something that moves me. And I want to be led by God. Now I'm telling you, I believe the Spirit of God right now is beginning to talk to some people and work some people. Some of you are getting uncomfortable right now, but it's because God is calling you to something larger than you've ever done before. We're going to give by faith, and God's going to bless this. Now I'm telling you, the seventh hand is going to come upon this church in a new way, and the seventh hand is going to come upon your house in a new way. I want you to think and just listen to the Spirit of God for one moment. What would God have me give? What would God have me do? What would he have me pledge over the next couple of months over and above? And listen, if you're ready to give today, you want to give and do that today, what I would do is I would make my pledge and I would put some amount in it today, a portion of it today, right? I'm going to put a portion of it today. If you want to make your pledge today, you can make it today. If not, next week. If you need to pray, talk to your spouse, that kind of thing, we're going to do it next week and you can bring it then. But if you want to bring it right now, come on, I'm not going to stop you from giving today. So we have those needs. Let me say, a little is a lot in the hands of God. Let me say it again, a little is a lot in the hands of God. River City Church has never been built by just a few large donors. Everything we've done, it's come because everybody has done their part. How many of y'all believe we're all better together, come on, than we are waiting on just a few people? And if just a few people do something like this, just a few people get blessed. If we all do this, we all get blessed. You know, in the Bible, Jesus starts taking up an offering. And a widow brings a small coin. He's looking, he sees what everybody's given. And he sees this coin drop in the bucket. It's pretty crazy that Jesus is just looking at the bucket in the offering, right? That would be very uncomfortable. It's like, what'd you give? What'd you give? He's right there looking. Oh, by the way, Jesus is looking in the bucket today. He always is. And he sees this little mite and he's blown away. He says, man, look at this. This is a small coin. But he says, this woman's given more than all of the rich guys around here. Because they gave out of their plenty, but she gave out of her necessity. I'm telling you, some of you are out there, you're single moms, you're having a tough financial time. A small gift is massive for you. Come on, let's give all of them in that kind of, I'm telling you, it's large. Don't think it's insignificant. It's significant to God. But then there's a lot of us that'll take that widow's mite story and we use it to get ourselves off the hook. You know, it's like, oh, little can be a lot in the hand of God, but not if it's not moving me. If it's not moving me, it's not Spirit-led. So listen, for the average family, I encourage people like this. There's a lot of people that have never pledged or never given, never went after giving a $1,000 gift. That may sound big to some of you, but I'm telling you, God, there's a lot of you that can do it. The average family in America can believe God and give $1,000 over a couple of months. You can do that. Some of you may be 500. Some of you, that doesn't move your meter. Some of you, there's 10,000 people could give. There's larger numbers. I'm not going to stop you. I'm going to tell you, give as much as you want. There's about $2.3 million worth of debt on this building, all right? So how many of y'all would like to see $2.3 million paid off and the church be debt-free? I believe God can do something like that. I got a buddy that has a church up in Louisville. They were going to build a $1 million youth facility. Took an offering like this. There's a $1 million youth facility in Louisville. They went to pledge. They were believing God for that $1 million building to be paid for, pledged off. The church pledged $5 million that morning. They got to pay off their youth facility and a bunch of their current facility. Come on, with God, all things are possible. I want you to take your offering right in front of you, right in front of your hand. Now I want you to believe God. Ask God, what would you have us do? What would you have us do? What? All I want us all to do is what the Spirit of God, what would you have us do, Lord? What would you have us do? And just listen to hear, what would God have you do? What would God have you do? Spirit of God, talk to us. What would you have me do? I'm telling you, church, I'm not just preaching this. I'm going to do it with you. I always do. I'm going to lead by giving with you. And I don't get any kind of bump or anything like that in my salary like that. I know people think that stuff. But you know, local church pastors, whenever they raise money, they're raising money to stay right in your community, to build right around you and to fund the church. You see what they're doing every week. Father, what would you have us do? Lead us and guide us. Now, I'm telling you, if there's anybody that's ready to pledge today, if you're ready to pledge today, let me see your hand. If you're ready to pledge today, if you're ready to do it today, if you want to wait till next week, here's what we're going to do. Those of you that are ready to do it today, if you're ready to do it today, we're going to do a song. The worship team is going to do a song right behind us. When you're ready to do, you can come and fill out that envelope, what you want to do, prepare your giving. And I think it would be a sign of faith today that we're going to have God put his hand, the seventh hand, on what we're doing. You come and lay it on this platform in this next song. And then the rest of you, I want you to stand up. I want to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Or you keep your seat right now if you need to, if you're figuring. But I'm going to pray for you that God would lead us all. That God would lead us all. Then we're going to have a song of worship. And if you're ready to pledge today, you can bring it and lay it on this platform. And what we'll do next week in the services, we'll count them all together publicly and see where we get as a church, where we do it as a family. It's going to be exciting. I think God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Come on, let's pray. Father, I pray for the people right now. We pray for the church. Lord, we declare we're not going to be a send them away kind of people. We're going to be a go and help them, a multiplication mindset. Father, I thank you that you take this church and you make it 1,000 times more. I pray that you bless these families, that you bless the work of their hand. I pray, Father, we wouldn't operate in the flesh, we'd operate in the spirit. And I believe for an amazing touch of heaven to come upon this offering and upon this year. We believe you, Father, for the seventh hand in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Come on and lead us.